All right, everybody, back for another one. It's Locked On Eagles. What's up? Louis DiBiase joining you in studio, as always, on this... What day is today? Thursday. It's the Thursday edition of the show, June 27th. Getting close to the end of the week. We're going to come back with another podcast on Friday. Might get a bonus one in on the weekend, depending on a certain few things. But just keep it on the lookout. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast, because once again, we're going at least 4 to 5 podcasts a week right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. And as long as you're subscribed to the show, you keep tuning in to LockedOnEagles.com, or you're following us on Twitter at LockedOnBirds, at DiBiase LOE, or at Gino_LOE. You will be alerted 24/7 whenever a show arrives. Today, I'm excited to get into today's portion of the podcast. We are continuing to get through this dead zone together. We are now officially under a month away from Eagles training camp. The week of the 24th, the Eagles come back to the NovaCare Complex. Training camp up and away, and then we finally get some actual action to talk about. We had a little bit there with mini camps in early June, but now, hey, this is the dead zone, and we're going to get through it together right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. And how we're going to do that today, ladies and gentlemen, how you're going to get your Eagles fixed with a dead zone of news. And look, it's not even just that there's nothing going on the field, but no news really, no stories, no rumors, because free agency is over, the draft is over, you know, there's no injuries really to get into. Wentz has had his contract done. So, I mean, the only thing we're really anticipating is, hey, let's just get this 2019-2020 season up and running. For today, we're going to get into Eagles backups. And look, you guys have heard us on the show. You've seen it, I'm sure, on basically any other NFL media outlet. The Eagles are pretty loaded right now on paper when it comes to their starting roster. But you've heard us say it on the show as well. Backups look really, really strong for the Philadelphia Eagles right now, too. There are a lot of players that might not be getting a lot of playing time, barring injuries, that on a lot of other teams in the NFL would probably be starters. So I thought to myself, well, to kill some time here through the dead zone, let's go 1 through 10. Let's rank the 10 best backups for the Philadelphia Eagles. So that's what's coming up on today's edition of the show. Some offensive players here, some defensive players. And I really struggled going through the list because it's kind of hard to compare a corner to a running back or a left tackle to a defensive tackle or a tight end to a slot corner or right guard. But I did my best to combine their value to the team, the position they play, and that value, past performances, upside. I kind of combined everything here into a top 10 list that I'll get into in the next portion of the show. And make sure, hey, if you disagree with any of the list or if you agree with some of it, keep the conversation going after the show. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at DiBiaseLOE. I am on 24/7 ready to talk birds with you. So keep the conversation going, or you can always email us at LockedOnEaglesPodcast@gmail.com. All right, guys, don't go anywhere. We're going to take a short break. We're going to rank the top 10 Eagles backups, and it's a pretty damn good list. A lot of these guys might be starters soon, have been starters, or will be on another team. So I had a lot of fun doing this list, and I think it's going to make you even more encouraged about what the Eagles ceiling is in 2019. And hey, we all know how important backups are for the Eagles, looking at 2018 and the historic amount of injuries to core pieces that they suffered last year. Part of why they were able to bounce back, they had the strong backups that were ready to go when adversity struck. And I think they are set up pretty well for that once again in 2019. We'll be right back. This is Locked On Eagles. And guys, we're sponsored today by Blue Chew. You can increase, look, this is for the guys out there that want to increase their performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up, it's BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach, and since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Now, this isn't just for the guys who can't perform. It's for any guys who want that extra function to enhance their performance. Blue Chew is prescribed online. It ships straight to your door in a discreet package, so there's no in-person doctor visits, there's no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, there's none of that damn awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. And right now, guys, we've got a special deal for our Locked On Eagles listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment for free. That's right, for free when you use our special promo code LOCKEDON. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to try it for free. BlueChew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the Locked On Eagles podcast today. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the show. Louis DiBiase joining you in studio right now. Hey, when you're listening, there is an awesome sale going on at tpublic.com on our Locked On Eagles store. We are up officially available. The store is selling right now Locked On Eagles merchandise, but also we're selling our brand new design, DeSean Jackson 2.0. It's a great design of DeSean holding the ball up. It's in the same form as him celebrating when he fell back into the end zone, when he kind of ran across the end zone in the miracle of the new Meadowlands. We've got a cool 2.0 design underneath him. We're celebrating DeSean Jackson coming back to the Philadelphia Eagles. And right now, you can get your merchandise for 35% off. So I'm going to tweet it out at Lockdown Birds and at DiBiase. Louis, you can get some cool t-shirts. You can get a hoodie, a sweatshirt, a tank top for your summer concerts if you want to rep the Birds. Or if you want some cheap preseason apparel. If you just want to, look, DeSean Jackson, I know a lot of people have DJX jerseys that they're going to dust off. I know I had a couple of them. But I know for me personally, I'm 22 years old right now. When DeSean Jackson left Philadelphia in 2013, I was only 16 years old. You know, he kind of had a growth spurt during that time. And at least for a lot of people, when DeSean Jackson was emerging, it was 2009, 2010, right? I mean, after that great rookie year, then he really started to take off in those two big seasons in 2009 and 2010 before getting that deal. So for me, at least, so this is kind of me talking to all you younger Eagles fans that grew up in the DJX era. You were probably, what, 10, 11, 12 years old, 13 years old, right before puberty, before you got to be, you went from, what, 5'5", 5'6", to suddenly 6'2". So make sure you refresh your DJX apparel with the Locked On Eagles store. Once again, I will tweet that out. It's also at tpublic.com. Just got to type in Locked On Eagles, or if you're looking for DJX 2.0 straight up, just type in DJX 2.0. All right, there's my shameless plugging and advertising for the podcast. Thank you for putting up with that once again. Now back into the meat and potatoes of today's show. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the top Eagles backups. I went through a list of 10, and I would say it was pretty balanced based on offense and defense. Had a couple, I would say out of 10, let me do this here. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, 5 and 5, actually. I went 5 offensive players and 5 defensive players. I'm going to start from 10 to 1. I think that's a good way to do it. And once again, I kind of combined their positional value, what they've actually done, field performance so far, their potential, because I think a lot of guys hold a lot of value right now. They're a top backup just because of what they mean to the team's future and also what they mean to the team's success immediately next year if, you know, Jason Peters were to go down, if we're talking about an offensive lineman, or if a cornerback got hurt, or heck, if Carson Wentz gets injured once again, is that going to be something? Can we rely on Nate Sudfeld? Is he on this list? Let's go through it. Number 10, I put Cravion LeBlanc. Cravion, for me, I would say maybe only Rasul. I think he probably has the worst odds. He's the least likely corner. Although he does have the niche of being a slot guy, it really depends on, for Cravion, what they do with Avante Maddox and also what they do with Sidney Jones and Jalen Mills, because hypothetically they could put Maddox on the outside and push LeBlanc inside, but I feel like if they were going to move Maddox somewhere that's not the slot, which is where they're prioritizing him right now, I feel like Sidney Jones is going to be the guy that either plays. So if Maddox plays at safety, maybe you have Sid inside and Rasul outside, or Sidney Jones outside, and then there's LeBlanc's in. But I still feel like maybe they would consider doing a Jalen Mills inside kind of thing. I don't know. Regardless, I think LeBlanc's path is, I want to say, the most difficult. I really don't trust that they're going to give Rasul Douglas a fair chance, so I maybe would say the second most difficult. But regardless, LeBlanc showed, I mean, coming off the streets last year, needing desperately a corner to not only, first off, just stay healthy, but then produce to a level that's not getting just roasted like Devontae Bosby was and Chandon Sullivan. And it took him a few games, but I really highlight that second game against the New York Giants in Philadelphia where Kravion really stepped up. He made a couple big plays on Odell Beckham, specifically one late in the game in the back of the end zone, making sure Beckham didn't score that touchdown and get the Giants back in that one and nearly cost the Eagles their season. And then after that, I mean, PFF loved him in the playoffs. I think he was the top graded corner in the first 2 weeks of the postseason, had that great interception on the first drive at the first play of the game against the Saints in the divisional round. He's fast. He's athletic. And also a thing for him, underrated tackler. I thought he got really strong at tackling later on. So that having him in the slot, seeing what Patrick Robinson did for the Eagles 2 years ago, seeing what Sidney Jones could do the first 5 weeks last year, and then Kravion, that's an important position now for the Eagles to make sure they have that locked up, not only with the starter, but a few backups that can do it. And I'm very confident in what they have in the slot right now with Maddox there, probably going to start there. I believe Sidney Jones can do that at a high level like he showed last year. And then Kravion LeBlanc as well. I think he's probably going to be the top backup in the slot because I think Sidney Jones is either going to be starting on the outside or would be the next man up next to also, you know, Rasul Douglas, depending on who were to get injured and, again, who's going to start. The cornerback position is just a complete circus. It's going to be a battle royale, a royal rumble in training camp. And we'll trust me, we're going to preview the cornerback position. I got a whole CB Wars podcast ready to go for you, but Kravion number 10, I am very confident in what he did last year, and I think he can pick right back up where he left off last year. Number 9, I have Vinnie Curry. We did a Lockdown Vinnie Curry podcast, so I went deep into the film over the past couple years for Curry, a career year based on efficiency of getting to the quarterback just 2 years ago, even in the playoffs, a big NFC Championship performance against Minnesota. He was finally a starter on the Eagles' defensive line, went from the highest graded year per PFF of his career to then the lowest in Tampa Bay. A lot of that had to do with injury. To me, I'm expecting back in Jim Schwartz's defensive scheme where it allows him to just go after the quarterback. Also someone that's really good against the run, which is a big, big plus of all these Eagles defensive ends. Having that guy as a backup now that was a starter on your Super Bowl defensive line, that is a big win for the Philadelphia Eagles and making sure that they replace Michael Bennett's production somewhat, or Chris Long's production somewhat. I'm not saying Curry is going to match what Michael Bennett did last year. Bennett was one of the best defensive linemen in football, and even Chris Long had 6.5 sacks last year, but Vinnie Curry is an experienced starter in the NFL, and the fact that with Graham and Barnett, he's going to rotate around, has the ability also to play inside. Very confident now that Curry is back, that the Eagles are going to be okay at the defensive end position. Number 8, J.J. Arcega Whiteside. Don't forget, guys, it's J.J. Arcega-Whiteside now, I believe, until I am proven wrong here. I know he's a rookie. I know it's hard to put him ahead of guys like LeBlanc and Curry who have proven things on the field, but Geno's really high on him. I would have rather have taken DK Metcalf. That's just my opinion, but I still think, regardless, Arcega-Whiteside, probably the best receiver in the draft when it comes to, you know, grabbing the ball at a high point, red zone efficiency, just post up basketball like moves, just jump balls, very similar to Alshon Jeffrey. Just even though he doesn't have world class speed, has the ability, quick twitch, get down the field and make big plays. Great hands too, just unbelievably strong hands. I'll compare him in that right to Anquan Boldin, where it's like it just seemed like he's just going to outmuscle any corner or safety that's draped all over him. I wouldn't be surprised at all, even if everybody at the wide receiver position stays healthy, I would not be surprised at all if Arcega-Whiteside caught five, six touchdowns last year, would you? I feel like he's going to be a featured part of the red zone for sure. I'm very excited about the prospects of that big, giant red zone lineup where you have Alshon and Arcega-Whiteside and Ertz and Goddard, and you just move with that going with Carson Wentz at the helm at quarterback. And the fact that you have this second-round caliber player, someone that a lot of people thought could have been a first-round pick, he's that efficient of a receiver. The fact that you have him behind three other receivers means you're in a really good position. And I think if he played, I think he is the future on the outside. So the fact that you have that guy right now as your wide receiver 4 puts you in a great spot. Number 7, I have Miles Sanders because I don't even think Miles Sanders is going to be a backup for long. I think Jordan Howard's going to start off as the featured running back, but I think Miles Sanders by maybe the half point of the season, like week 8, week 9, maybe even sooner. Look, this guy was a second-round pick for a reason. He is a overall complete running back, very hard to take down, incredibly well-rounded, balanced, contact balance, unbelievable, great soft hands, underrated speed, cut on the dime ability. I think he's going to take over for Jordan Howard eventually. He is a rookie, however. He's nursing a hamstring injury right now. The fact that he's at number 7 is saying something about this Eagles roster. Number 6, Stephen Wisniewski. I mean, Wiz was a starter on the Eagles offensive line that won a Super Bowl, and the Eagles offensive line, I mean, I don't want to say they were the main reason they won the championship. Foles was a huge part of it, Doug Peterson, but why was Peterson and Foles able to do what they did, coaching and quarterback-wise? It was because the offensive line was playing like 5 men possessed. It was unbelievable, the performance, the chemistry that those guys had, and Wiz was a big part of that. He's versatile too. He's played guard, he's played center. He'll probably end up playing center if Kelsey got hurt, knock on wood, because we really would like one of the best linemen in the league, Jason Kelsey, to stay healthy. But Wiz as a backup, the versatility, the experience, the fact that they were able to keep him again, I thought he was as good as gone. He's a guy that he's got a big ego, and I mean, I think it's justified. He wants to play. He's very outspoken. I thought he would go somewhere else and try to, you know, fight for a starting job, but he came back to Philadelphia, and you have that guy waiting in the wings in case something happens to, say, Amalo or Kelsey, or right now, look, Brandon Brooks is hurt. Wiz is maybe going to start at right guard right now. Maybe it's Big V, but Wiz could be that guy right now at right guard while Brooks nurses that torn Achilles, and you probably will continue to perform at a high level with that offensive line if Wiz is there instead of Brandon Brooks. I'm very pleased that he was able to come back. I did not think the Eagles were going to be able to get that done. All right, we'll do number 5 here, and then we will take our final break here on today's edition of Locked In Eagles. We're going 10 through 1 here, ranking the top 10 Eagles backups, and we'll do a little recap at the end. I'll post the list online as well at LockedOnEagles.com. Hey, send me your list as well, at DiBiase, L-O-E, or at LockedOnBirds. Number 5 to wrap it. Oh, you know what, actually? I'm making an executive decision here. I've done 5. We'll do the final 5 coming up next. This is Locked On Eagles. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. To kind of recap what I did in the second segment here, we are ranking the top 10 Eagles backups on the podcast today. Number 10, I did Cravion LeBlanc. Number 9, I went with Vinnie Curry. Number 8, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside went back-to-back rookies here. Came back around at number 7 with Miles Sanders, who I think eventually is going to be the starter. You guys know I'm pretty high on Sanders. My number 3 running back coming out of the draft, only behind Josh Jacobs. And you guys know Bruce Anderson's my boy. I still think he's going to pan out in Tampa Bay. And then number 6, Stephen Wisniewski. So that's how I rounded out my bottom 5 here on the top 10 Eagles backups. Now to close it out with 5 through 1. Number 5, I went with Jalen Mills. This is a player that has started every year that he's been with the Eagles since being a 7th round draft pick. Had probably his best run of his career in the playoffs 2 years ago, specifically in the Super Bowl. He was the only guy that was able to contain Rob Gronkowski at all. And, you know, he's great at tackling. He is a pristine. He is a top-end red zone corner. He is limited, however. We all know with the double moves, his speed is lacking. There's just too much inconsistency with his game for me. And you guys know I'm very high on all the other young corners. I think Mills is going to be a backup. I think the health is really the big thing here, because Jim Schwartz, we all know he loves Jalen Mills. With that, if Jalen Mills is healthy before the season starts, I don't know. I don't think there's going to be a competition at all at the cornerback position, and it'll just be Mills and Darby on the outside with Maddox in the slot. Maybe they move Maddox to safety. I really doubt it at this point, regardless. But here is an opening. Because the front office really does want Sidney Jones to pan out. Because I think Jim Schwartz is high on Sidney Jones too. He even said he, much like the other young guys, would have got going at the end of the season. He just was getting hurt. And he did some good things in the slot last year, and that's not even his natural position. If Sidney Jones beats out Rasul Douglas for that outside job and Mills is still on the shelf, that's where Jalen Mills becomes a backup here. And that's a top backup to have at the cornerback position. My thing is, I don't even know if they would consider having Mills as a backup. Maybe then if he did lose out to Rasul Douglas or to Sidney Jones or to Avante, and I don't know, they put Sid or Cravion in the slot. Regardless, say Mills does lose out on three of the CB jobs, maybe they move him to safety. He played safety at LSU. I just think it would be very hard for them to have him just sit there on the bench. I think at that point, maybe they would consider a trade. His contract is up this year. He would need an extension. Maybe a team like the Cleveland Browns or, I don't know, the Seahawks, a team that could use some help in the secondary now, could decide, hey, we'll give up a mid to late round draft pick for Jalen Mills and try to re-sign him. Can't imagine they'd have to break the bank for Mills. I'm very curious what he would get on the open market. I know Darby, if he stays healthy, is going to get a lot just because of the speed and the athleticism. Jalen Mills, with his experience, with his tackling ability, strong red zone play, I know he's very inconsistent. I do wonder what kind of deal he would get, but if they do end up just keeping him as a backup, that is an incredible situation to have. And he's a great leader off the field too. I remember specifically when Rasul Douglas hit that ball up in the air and it just magically fell right back into the chest of Amari Cooper, and Douglas was devastated. It was Mills, you know, bear hugging him after, trying to talk him up and make sure that he knew he would learn and grow from this. So he's a very important piece to the organization. I think they realize that, but I think maybe Schwartz goes a little bit too hard on the Mills train. So for that fact, I'm skeptical he'll even be a backup, but if he is, definitely think he's top five. Number four, I have Andre Dillard. He has not played a down yet, but one of the best, if not the best, pass protecting tackle in all of college football last year at Washington State. I mean, those guys threw it 600 times a year. Nobody in the FBS threw more than Washington State. He's got all the reps in the world. He's got the athleticism. And I put him at four here, not because he has the proven ability of these other guys, but also, look, I think he's going to pan out and be a, I think he could start right away with Stoutland developing him this summer. And, of course, he was a first-round pick anyway, so I feel like if they didn't have Peters, he would be starting. The fact that they have him waiting in the wings, and just in case Peters does get hurt, he is very important to that position, to making sure the left tackle, Carson Wentz's blind side, is protected. I'm putting him up here because of the importance of his position, but also first-round pick, proven to be stout in pass protection, athletic. Stoutland believes he can get his run game protection developed more. I think that was kind of overemphasized during the draft process. I like what Dillard said, that he just really wasn't asked to do that a whole lot, so there wasn't a lot of reps from Dillard in the film room. You're not going to see a lot of, you know, run stopping, run protecting plays, because Washington State, again, just threw the football more than any team in college football. So overall, I think Dillard is going to be a really strong rookie, and he's, if everything goes well, Dillard doesn't play at all this year, because that means Jason Peters played all 16 games, and he didn't come in and out of the lineup like he did last year. He fully heals from his leg injuries and his bicep injuries, and he's just good to go for maybe one last run. So I put Dillard at four, though, here. I'm very, very high on Dillard. I think the Eagles got a gem there in the first round, right in front of Houston. Poor Texans settling for Titus Howard. Number three, Rasul Douglas. You guys know my boy Rasul. I think he should be a starter. He has three niche abilities that really top him over the other corners: tackling, size, playmaking ability. In 2 years, basically a full year's worth of games, the guy has five interceptions, and he honestly could have seven or eight. There's a couple plays where they've just gone right off his hand and he could have finished the play. That's a special talent, a guy that had 15 interceptions his last 2 years at West Virginia, a guy that plays great late in games. I mean, you look at what he did in London last year when he had to come in against the Jaguars when Jalen Mills got hurt. Comes in, makes a big play on fourth down, made a couple big-time hits. You know, that Atlanta, too, week one, the guy doesn't play a snap all game. Then he comes in his first possession, his first play, in to spell Ronald Darby, and he comes up with an interception on Matt Ryan. I mean, week one on primetime television. I don't know if they recognize it, but he is very, very valuable to this Eagles team as a backup on the outside at corner. You guys know I think he should be starting. He got better. He continues to get better the more and more playing time he gets, and that is something that's very promising in a guy that you picked in the third round anyway to show that development, and he has done nothing but show that development and more, and he has done nothing but prove this coaching staff wrong time and time again. And I think if he gets the opportunity again next year, he will do that once again. So I don't think he's going to start. I think he's going to be a backup, and that makes him a top-tier backup corner in the NFL. Number two, Tim Jernigan. I don't know if you guys would agree that I have him this high, but if Jernigan can get back to what he did the first half of 2017, that is a – oh, my gosh. I mean, that's a starting defensive tackle in the league. That is – I mean, his pass rushing ability, the upside of Jernigan still, I'm in on. I think once he's healthy – and it looks like he's healthy right now. He's healthy. He's motivated, too, because remember, he had a contract extension with Philadelphia after 2017. They gave him that new four-year deal. And then the injury comes off the field, the non-football-related injury. The Eagles weren't happy about it. The whole – I mean, it's still kind of murky what actually happened. But then most of his contract becomes non-guarantees. There's then a team option that they can get out of it, and they do, and then he takes this deal for, what, $1 or $2 million this year. Now he's behind Malik Jackson. That was his spot, now taken away. A motivated Tim Jernigan, still a young player. I'm excited about what he can do, and he's just rotating in this year. I mean, that's great. Look at what he did last year when he was healthy. In the playoffs, he had a half a sack in both games. He's got to really cut down that weight. I thought he was a little bit too big down the stretch. Get back into that athletic form that can get after the quarterback and spell Malik Jackson and Fletcher Cox. Exciting times on the Eagles' interior. The fact that he's a backup right now is just, I mean, again, look at the contract extension they did give him tells you what kind of player he can be and what kind of player he was. So he's not even going to be a starter this year. It's a great situation to be in. And then number one, Dallas Goedert. I think it's incredible that a backup tight end, honestly, could be a top five tight end in football. I truly believe that. I think if he was on any other team starting that's not the Chiefs with Travis Kelce, I mean, who else? There's not a lot of great tight ends in the league anymore. I mean, do we consider Eric Ebron to be up there now? Right? I mean, it's just Dallas Goedert starting with another team is a top-tier tight end. He has that ability. There's a reason they compared him to Ertz and Travis Kelce coming out of school. There's a reason that even with Zach Ertz, who right now to me is 1A, 1B with Travis Kelce, now that Rob Gronkowski retired, the fact that they took him, even with Ertz on the roster, coming off a year where he had the game-winning catch in the Super Bowl, the most important play maybe in Eagles history, it tells you what you need to know about Goddard, and then you saw it on the field last year, and just in limited, again, it's a lot like Rasul Douglas, it's a lot like Wisniewski, it's a lot like Cravion LeBlanc. In limited snaps, you saw this huge boom potential, and Goddard was big time in the clutch. You saw that in that touchdown against the Dallas Cowboys, you saw it in the playoffs against the Chicago Bears. An incredible blocker, way more advanced as a blocker right now than Zach Ertz was. He was a really, really good blocking tight end last year as well. I'm super excited about Goddard's future here with the Eagles and in 12 personnel. To me, he's got to be the top backup because his upside, what he did last year already, I just think if he was on any other team, like the Eagles realistically could have two top five tight ends next year. That's just an incredible situation to be in. Some honorable mentions before we wrap up. I had Halapulivahti Vaitai on my honorable mentions list. Kamu Grugier-Hill, I think, is an underrated coverage linebacker here that's now just going to be part of a rotation as that third guy, I think, with LJ Fort and Nate Geary. And then Corey Clement. Very interested to see which Corey Clement we get this year. Is it the second half of the season guy from last year and the 2017 version, or is it that first half of the season, inexplosive, inefficient kind of guy? Time will tell with Clement. For more on Corey Clement, we did a Locked On Corey Clement podcast just a week ago. That's on LockedOnEagles.com and our podcast platforms. All right, that's going to do it for me today. Locking up here. the studio, LockedOnEagles.com. Please subscribe to the show if you're not already. If you could leave us a 5-star rate and a review, guys, that really does go a long way. We have appreciated. Shout out to Matt, who just gave us a really nice review, just has said some awesome stuff about the show. Shout out to you, Matt. We really thank you for being a loyal listener, and just all of you guys out there that have helped make this show what it has been now, going on over a year now. We've been with me and Gino, been with Locked On Eagles for now going on a year and about 3 weeks. So really appreciate the ride. We're going to try to get you through this dead zone together. We're going to keep you alive through it, get you into training camp right here on Locked On Eagles. As always, thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening. And let's go Birds, baby.